Hey, Little Bob here. Bob's Discount Furniture has the furniture you've waited 250 years for. We've got power reclining sofas as low as $7.99, five-piece dining sets as low as $3.99, Bob-O-Pedic mattresses for as low as $2.99, and of course, feature-packed bestsellers like my Playday sectional with pop-up sleeper sofa. So stop in or shop mybobs.com to see where America shops for furniture.
Oh, my Bob!
Now open in Vestal.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you on another edition of Phillies Today. As you know, you miss a week or two of the podcast and you got a lot to talk about. And I was on vacation last week, as I mentioned, and boy, it feels like we are in dire straits with this baseball team right now, as it feels like a true chore at this point to watch them every day with the way they've been playing, just between the manager and the lineup. And I think the starting pitching is sort of taking a hit a little bit. The bullpen is a total disaster. Like, this team is at risk of not making the postseason. Like, we've officially reached the point to where they, as of right now, in the NL wildcard standings, would be out of the playoffs if they started today. As, you know, San Diego has gotten hot recently. They would be tied with the Arizona Diamondbacks for the final spot. As I mentioned, Padres have gotten hot recently. The Cubs have sort of pulled away as that top wildcard team. And It's been a rough go for the Phillies. There's no doubt about it. And as I said, you watch them every day. It's extremely difficult to feel any sort of positivity right now, even when they win games. Like, heading into the coming into the Cardinals series, they had won 7 of 10. They had been 7-3 in their last 10 games. But, like, man, it really did not feel like that whatsoever. And that is just because of the way that they've sort of come into a lot of these games and have been the better team. Like, they should have probably swept the Blue Jays, and they give two games away there. They give a game away against the Cardinals where they are prime position to score and take the lead in the eighth inning, and they are, you know, ground into a double play. We'll talk about Arise, of course, which we haven't talked about since the deadline because of, as I mentioned, me being on vacation last week. So plenty to talk about with this baseball team right now, but it is just feels like a disaster, and it was another half-assed deadline. We're going to get to more of it in a minute. The manager has, I think, cost them a number of games, which has been incredibly frustrating, and I think he's sort of not had a handle on this bullpen and sort of this entire roster since, I would say, June-ish, after that first 6 to 8 weeks of being the full-time manager of the team. But he's really just fallen off a cliff, essentially, and I think part of that is due to the regression with the top of the rotation, and we'll get into Sanchez and Wheeler in a minute here, but those guys haven't been the same. And I think with them not being able to go deep into games, the bullpen management has sort of been something that has needed to be, you know, sharp, and it just hasn't for this team, just based off of the decisions that this manager has made. And a lot of guys being down has been a result of poor bullpen management from, obviously, Don Mattingly, but I think just not the starters being unable to go deep into these games as well. So you already really don't have the horses back there. And for essentially the other night in St. Louis, and it's funny, of course, it's the game they end up winning, for it to be Andrew Painter, Ron Hell, and then their one bullet in Bolin is crazy. And they said they were going to go to freaking Garrett Stubbs if that game got into extra innings. Like, Garrett Stubbs pitching in a tied extra inning game. Like, that's the plan? Like, that is insane. So just a disaster from that standpoint. And I just think that it sort of made you appreciate, I think, Rob Thompson a little more over the last few years and the way that he was able to sort of guide this team through the course of the regular season, because obviously it's not an easy thing to do. And I think when you looked at Don Mattingly's track record with the Marlins and with the Dodgers, there were some signs that this was going to happen. It ended up happening sooner rather than later. So I think there is no chance that Don Mattingly is the manager of this team next year, if, of course, there is a next year. And it will end up being a one-year interim thing where, again, he is not the manager of the Phillies next year. I would be shocked, because I don't see, obviously, this team, you know, being able to win four series probably based off of the roster alone, but I don't think that Don Mattingly can manage his way to this team winning four series in a row, which is what you're going to have to do considering you are locked into that wild card spot essentially now. I believe the Braves are 9 games up on the Phillies, which feels pretty insurmountable at this point. So let's get into it. Want to get into the pitching staff first because I think that, yes, there have been problems with the manager, and I really think that Don Mattingly has done a pretty horrific job over the past month or so just with managing this pitching staff as a whole, but they haven't really done their job either. Like, Sanchez is a 4.5 ERA since July 1st and has really just become a 5-6 inning starter. With him, it's all about command. Like, I feel like he's just getting behind in counts way more than he did in the first few months of the season. And if he's not getting the sinker in on hitters and playing the changeup off it, like, guys are going to take the changeup and not swing at it. So I think the sinker command has sort of been his big bugaboo, and everything has sort of, you know, regressed off of that. And if he can get that rectified, that would be great. But I also think that he was getting pushed heavily in the beginning of the year, and that probably some fatigue was going to set in at some point. So in St. Louis the other day, like, he only goes the 6 innings with 89 pitches. And I think that in a perfect scenario, you would have loved him to get the 7th. And of course, they are short arms. They bring McFarland in, which I actually think McFarland did have some good stuff, and I'm going to get to him when we talk about the bullpen a little bit. But it was a tough spot to put that kid in, and he ends up giving up a run. They end up losing the game, and they come out after, you know, the game is over, and they say that Chris Sanchez, because of the heat, because of a little fatigue, was unable to go for that last inning there. So, you know, I think that's probably was always going to be a realistic case scenario, that Chris Sanchez wasn't going to be able to keep that up the whole year. I mean, what he did during the scoreless streak and just throughout the first half of the season was pretty incredible. So some regression was expected there, but he hasn't been great. Wheeler, velocity is down, like, with him, definitely more than one tick. I would say 2 or 3 ticks right now. And the arm just seems to be wearing down. Like, I had a feeling when he came up from the injury right away that he was going to show some real life, like, he was going to be amped up to pitch. This team really needed him, so I think he sort of sensed that, and he really did meet the moment in that regard. I think he was a big reason, probably the reason, for the turnaround with this baseball team, and him being a staple in the rotation is the only way that they're going to have any sort of success going down the stretch. And if they're going to make the postseason, they're going to need Zach Wheeler to be Zach Wheeler, and for that to happen, I think you might need to think about, like, a phantom IL stint here at some point. And I know, of course, at the deadline, you would have loved to get another starter. It would have given you a little bit more flexibility to do that. But now that you didn't, I don't know where you find that stretch to where you can sit him down for a couple weeks and sort of let him get some rest and then go, okay, let's, you know, go from here. And hopefully his arm is a little less tired. So I think it's a problem of fatigue right now, really. And ultimately, if Zach Wheeler isn't the guy that they've had throughout the first few months of the season, I don't know if they're going to be in a position to make the playoffs. So that is a huge concern, and it just feels like the arm is wearing down. When you come back from a major surgery like that, clearly there are going to be some signs of, you know, not being the same guys before. I'm not saying that he can't be the same Zach Wheeler that we saw before, because we've seen that at points in the season where he has been one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. But the fastball, at least, there are some concerns there for sure. It feels like the stuff as a whole could be down a little bit from that start in Miami, from this past start in St. Louis, obviously. He walked, I think, 4 batters against the Blue Jays, which is very un-Zach Wheeler-like. Obviously, he had the whole scuff-up with the Blue Jays, and he seemed to be a little frustrated in terms of not pitching off the rubber and them accusing him of that, which he definitely does. But, hey, I'm not going to ever complain about it, but so Zach Wheeler been a little rough lately, but honestly, those two guys are your horses, but the other three have had some, I think, encouraging signs over the past few starts, where Painter comes off the IL last 3 starts. He has a 2 ERA since then. I think he's been really, really good. The changeup has been much more prevalent. He's ditched the split. I think that the fastball shape is encouraging, but I think just his arsenal getting changed a little bit and him trying to throw a cutter maybe a little bit more is what's going to lead to success with him. And I think that him sort of refining that repertoire, maybe him sitting down with Caleb Cotham, has been a real key to him sort of, you know, having this success right now. And he had a no-hitter through 5 innings in St. Louis. It would have been great in a scenario where they had a full bullpen and they could have taken him out after he gave up that first hit to leave him, you know, feeling a little confident. It was obviously tough for him to give up those two runs at the end. But hey, really encouraging stuff, I think, from Andrew Painter over the last three starts. And that's all you want to see, especially considering I had said keep him down for the rest of the year. But again, when you don't trade for a starter at the deadline where Dave Dombrowski says they ran out of time, which is a stunning comment, but I'll leave that as it may. That's sort of the thing you have to deal with. And, you know, when you have Zach Wheeler, whose arm is a little fatigued, when you have Sanchez struggling, like, they had really no choice but to bring him back up, especially considering the lack of success that number five starter spot had. And they finally broke that curse by winning a game that a fifth starter started, which felt like forever since that had occurred. But anyway, just good stuff from Painter there. Lizardo has been incredible. Like, he has been awesome to watch. I think the strikeout stuff is just unbelievable with the sweeper. And you could see why they sort of, I don't want to say chose him over Ranger, but, you know, they gave him the extension this offseason. They let Ranger walk in free agency. So that is sort of, I think, was their mindset, where they knew that Lizardo had the really good stuff in terms of playing the sweeper off of the fastball, which already has great velocity, being a bit younger, and him just, I think, overall having a better pitch mix than Ranger does, and him probably being set up for success a little more than Ranger does over the next few years. So really good signs from Lizardo. I think that he was awesome in that Blue Jay start, has just been really good overall since, you know, he had a slow-ish start where his ERA was, I think, pretty high up and through May, but really good stuff from Lizardo. And hey, if they're in a wild card series and they are fortunate enough to make the playoffs, he is one of my top two starters, no doubt about it. And I don't know if that means, it probably would be Sanchez, Lizardo. It also could depend on the team. If it's more lefty or righty dominant team, like it could be the Cubs, you know, it could be the, you know, Padres. We'll see who they end up playing. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out there. But and also Nola. I think Nola has had a weird season to where you watch him and he gives up a lot of homers and he's frustrating. Believe me, I have my dad texting me every start like, oh, another Nola homer, another Nola, like, we get it. He gives up home runs. I am aware. But he's had a season where he gives up those homers, but he does find a way, I feel like, to minimize damage a little bit. Like, you look up at the ledger at the end of the night, you go, all right, 5 innings, 3 runs. Like, 6 innings, 3 runs. 6 innings, 2 runs. Like, he kept them in the game. And it just feels like, you know, any mistake that he makes gets hit 500 feet, which has got to be frustrating as a starting pitcher. And that's what happens when your fastball tops out at 90, 91, and you have to, you know, dot the corners every time perfectly, and you can't make mistakes. So it's not great that he has 4 more years in the contract, and that will be addressed more in the offseason, I'm sure, just with the discussions about how they utilize him next year. But at least for now, he is going to be in your rotation. And if they were, again, to be very fortunate enough to make the division series, he would be pitching in that. So we'll continue to monitor the Nola situation. We'll see how he does in Iowa tonight or Friday if that game ends up getting rained out. We'll see here. But, yeah, the homers, I get, are frustrating, but I think he is a part of the problem. But there are a lot bigger problems currently with this Phillies roster than Aaron Nola. So,
hey, Little Bob here. Bob's Discount Furniture has the furniture you've waited 250 years for. We've got power reclining sofas as low as $7.99, 5-piece dining sets as low as $3.99, Bob-O-Pedic mattresses for as low as $2.99, and of course, feature-packed bestsellers like my Playday sectional with pop-up sleeper sofa. So stop in or shop mybobs.com to see where America shops for furniture.
Oh, my Bob!
Now open in Vestal.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
That's kind of where I'm at with the pitching staff. Again, frustrating, but I think that if you can get Wheeler and Sanchez back on the right track, that would be the biggest reason for optimism about making the postseason and potentially doing any damage in the playoffs there. But a reason I wouldn't feel optimistic is this lineup, man, because they make the trade for Luis Arraez. And, you know, I was happy at the time that they get Arraez. And he's a good player. He is kind of undervalued in today's game, just in terms of the bat to ball and the ability to hit for average and the ability to put the ball in play. But you can see why he's been on as many teams as he had, and that he's a flawed player and that he doesn't have bat speed. And it's frustrating to watch sometimes, because you understand that those are valuable skills in terms of the bat to ball and being able to put the ball in play. But in today's game, you really, like, there's so many frustrating at bats where he's had, where he's been up 2-0 in counts and he's just let pitches go. And I'm thinking to yourself, man, like, you got yourself in a great count. Get a fastball and hit it. Like, and he hasn't been doing that. And he's been hitting into a lot of ground balls, and he doesn't have speed, so he's going to hit into double plays. And just, of course, he's going to have his longest 0-for streak since 2021, since joining the Phillies. Like, the Kevin Long jokes write themselves. I've seen them all over Twitter. And obviously, it's not Kevin Long, but it's just very ironic, or I guess not ironic, that Luis Arraez ends up having his longest 0-for streak in 5 years right after he joins the Phillies. And look, I think that they gave up a really, really good pitching prospect in Ramon Marquez, a guy that I probably would have preferred to trade Gage Wood over, considering I think Ramon Marquez profiles as a starter a little more than Gage Wood does. And, like, he could end up being in the bullpen. He could end up being a starter. We'll see how the rest of his minor league development goes. But I thought Ramon Marquez was a real, real asset for this team in terms of being probably their best pitching prospect in the system. So to trade that for a half a year rental of Luis Arraez, where you may not make the playoffs, it's a difficult thing that you're going to have to sell potentially years down the road. So frustrating in that regard, but I do think his profile does help the lineup. Like, obviously he will progress back to the mean. And I'm sure he'll come up with some big hits for him. And just, of course, he has a couple great moments and has that 0-for streak. And now everyone's all pissed off at him. But I did agree with the putting him in the four-hole thing. But at the same time, the double play in St. Louis the other night really showed you the negative aspect of that, where he can't get a ball to the outfield. It's a hard ground ball in the infield, and it's an easy double play. And they score no runs with the bases loaded and no outs, which is absolutely infuriating. But Alec Bohm, I just can't believe he's still on the team still. Like, right after they made the trade for Arraez, I'm thinking to myself, okay, here's how you make the positional thing work. You move Stott to third, which they did. You put Arraez at second. You keep Bryce at first. And you get off of Alec Bohm, and then you bring somebody. Like, you could have – eliminating him from this team would have been a net positive in itself, just based off of the fact that I think this team is fed up with the tantrums that he throws, with the negative attitude that he has, and the fact that he's just not a productive baseball player at this point, and the fact that you couldn't have just gotten off of him for a middle reliever from anywhere, or just get, like, he's a free agent after this year. Just let it go. Like, I understand he's going to have probably 80 to 90 RBI when the season is finished. Congrats. Like, awesome. It's one of the most meaningless stats in baseball to me at this point is RBI. And I just think he is a net negative on this team. And he is now defensively replacing people at first base at the end of games, where he cannot play first base. Like, he just became a competent third baseman. And I actually think Stott's done a good job at third base since he's moved there. But there is a way to keep Bryce at first base. And Bryce is dealing with knee stuff now, where he has to play the outfield every day. And you could easily keep Bryce at first base, Arraez at second, Turner at short, Stott at third, and play freaking Derek Hill in right field for all I care. He is more of a net positive for this team than Alec Bohm is right now. And I just can't stand to see his face in the lineup every day. And I am counting down the days until he is not a Philly anymore. He brings my mood down every time I see him step up to the plate for this team. You know what's going to happen every time. You're going to see his little pouty face after he makes an out, and it is just the worst. It is infuriating. So really, really frustrating he's still on this team. Like, I thought there was a great chance that he was going to be off the team after they traded for Arraez, but he is seemingly inevitable, and they'll probably end up extending him this offseason. Of course, I'm kidding, but I don't even know if I am. So, again, looking forward to the day where Alec Bohm is no longer a Philly, for sure. But aside from him being a disaster, I mean, Marsh, it was a great run before the All-Star break, but man, he has really, really come back to life here, and it's just been pretty, pretty mediocre, I think, saying that nicely. since the All-Star break. And I know he was always going to sort of regress a little bit, but it's a pretty rough go for him right now. Just hasn't been able to get it done. I mean, Schwarber had a really, really brutal start after the All-Star break. Just couldn't hit a homer and finally gotten on a little bit of a hot stretch here where he's getting hits. I think he's like a 6 or 7 game hit streak here. So hopefully he has a real heater here where he ends up going on a nice little home run tear. And he is still tied for the league lead in home runs despite having a power drought since the All-Star break. But one concern I also have, aside from his knee with Bryce, is Bryce has been on a getting on base heater where I think he's on a, 16 or 17 game on base streak, which is great. And he's been walking a lot. Now, he talked about at the beginning of the year how I wanted Bryce to walk more, and him being able to get on base was what was going to, lengthen out his career and keep him a really, really good player to elite player, dare I say. And he's been doing that, which has been awesome. But I don't want Ariza's struggles to have to force him to lose faith in the whole getting on base thing, because when he loses faith in the hitter behind him, which he clearly did with Alec Bohm for the last couple of years, it forces him to expand the zone a little bit more. And I think that's where Bryce gets into trouble, and that's where the strikeout rate goes up, and that's where his struggles sort of come into play when he feels like he has to do too much and he has to sort of be the hero at the plate. And I think that we're getting in a dangerous territory of that happening again. But I hope he continues to take his walks, because it's actually been great to watch. But that's the concern with Bryce there for sure. And just with Trey too. We needed the right-handed bat at the deadline, and Ariza is fine. I was glad that they got Ariza because it is an offensive upgrade. But, Trey is just a lost season, man. The WRC Plus is down almost 40 points from last year, which is not Cal Raleigh-level insane, but it's pretty ridiculous there. And his OPS against lefties is, in the 600s still. And it's just really a shame, because he is the bat that they need. They need Trey Turner from last year. That is the guy that they need. And the fact that they're probably not getting that at any point this year, and who knows in the future what ends up happening if he ends up moving to the outfield next year or whatever, just frustrating for a guy that they gave such a massive, massive contract to and is here for a long time, where it feels like, similar to Aaron Nola, that is going to be a difficult, difficult contract to get out of. And speaking of disasters, bullpen, I talked about the mismanagement from Mattingly, but I mean, I will say that they don't have the horses in there where you would feel really comfortable turning to anybody besides Duran and Bolin right now. But the Killian injury is tough because you brought him in at the deadline with Ariza, which I really liked that move. I thought it was similar to Bolin, where he had upside, he had good stuff. He sort of had to, get with Cotham and figure some stuff out and sort of maybe tweak his arsenal a little bit. But he gets hurt because the bullpen's mismanaged by leaving Kirkerain in too long on Sunday. So then he has to pitch, and he gets hurt, probably done for the year, which is a shame because that was their one of two bullpen additions deadline with Brooks Raley, which I'm still monitoring that situation. But, of course, in his first outing, he gives up a homer, which just of course. And then Kirkerain, man. I had been a Kirkerain defender for so long because I thought that, sure, had he given up some big, obviously not homers, but did he blow up in a big spot last year in the postseason? Yes, and not, have the confidence to be able to throw the ball to first base. But has he come up short in big moments? Absolutely. But I thought he was still a very good pitcher who was young, who was only going to get better. He is just afraid of the moment, which is a shame to say. But it just feels like in any big spot where there's a little bit of pressure, he just folds every time. And now you have zero confidence when he comes into a ball game. And does he have a great sweeper? Yes. Does he have velocity? Yes. But I just don't know if he's ever going to put it together to where you can really feel confident in him being a premier setup guy for this baseball team. And it's frustrating because I do think that he had the stuff, and he came up so early and was a high flyer through the system and just seemed like somebody was going to be a dude for them. But he ended up not being that, which is a shame for sure. I would not be shocked if he is off the team next year. So we will see what happens there. But again, aside from Duran, and Bolin, is there anybody you really trust? And I'm glad McFarland is finally back up. I mentioned him earlier. He showed some signs, even though he gave up the run. And, his fastball just moves like crazy, which if they ever are able to control it, I think he could be a really dangerous weapon for him. But interested to see how he does and what his role becomes the remainder of the year. Again, besides that, it's like Sugar, Meza. Thank God Seth Johnson's gone. I will say that was a successful deadline move at the very end there. But probably the worst bullpen they've had since 22, and that's with a dominant closer. So that should be, speak for itself there, which is a shame. So glad we feel good about the current state of the baseball team. Thanks for listening to me rant for a little bit, which feels like we all sort of need right now because it has been a frustrating time if you watch this baseball team every day, which if you listen to this, I am sure that you do. So let's get to a little weekend preview starting in Dyersville, Iowa tonight. We'll see if it ends up happening. It might get rained out, but hopefully they end up playing there in Iowa where you've got Aaron Nola in the cornfields going up against Taj Bradley. Aaron Nola in a little league park with potentially juice balls, not accusing anyone of anything, but that should be an interesting sight to see. So we'll see if old Nola shoves out there in the Field of Dreams game against the Twins tonight. But then on Saturday, you'll have an off day Friday, of course, to travel to Minnesota. But then Saturday, you'll have Lizardo, who hopefully keeps going, versus Connor Prelip, who's actually not been bad lately and sort of put it together for the Twins. So probably it'll be 6-1 run for him will be my guess there. But then Sunday, you've got Painter, who looks to keep it up against Dean Kramer, who isn't very good. But again, only has given up 2 runs over his last 2 starts. So probably Shove City. But we will see. So as always, thank you so much for listening to Phillies Today. Hopefully this thing gets a little better. We can talk some positivity next week with the Phils. So for Phillies Today, this has been Justin Morgenstein. Thank you for listening. Have a good one, everyone. I'll see you.